Hey, everybody, welcome to Quest for Peace. I'm Ayaz Akhtar. I'm your host, and today, no guest. And why do we have no guest? Because it's Memorial Day weekend in the U.S., and I decided to let all my friends, you know, do their own thing. Today, I went on a hike. So if you're watching this live, we do the show at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays, 2 Pacific, that is. And I was late because I was on a hike, and that explains my wonderful hike hair. I was not planning to be late, and I was. So apologies for that. And let's talk about inner peace. If you don't know about this show, this program has a lot to do with me. I've been trying to get myself calm and peaceful and rational and just kind of like, I wanted to be an unflappable guy. Like, okay, you know, some crazy stuff happens. You know that guy that you hang out with and like nothing seems to faze him, knows what to do, very calm, can do pretty much anything under pressure. Yeah, I want to be that guy. Now, I can perform under pressure. That's not usually a problem. But I'm not exactly the nicest guy to work with when there's pressure situations. I might get a little bit curt with my words. I might forget that people have feelings, and I might not be the best when it comes to being diplomatic at times. And yes, I'm talking about this. So if you guys are one day aspiring to work with me somewhere, you wouldn't know this up front and go, wow, that could be trouble. I'm really not that hard to work with, but sometimes it feels like that for me. It feels like I'm trying to work very hard to be better. So this show is about trying to find inner peace. Sometimes I have guests on and I ask them what they do to find peace. And today, I'm going to just flat out be completely honest today. I have felt like a complete fraud coming into today's episode because I was not peaceful today. I am not peaceful today. I've been edgy since the minute I woke up. I've been pissy. I've been angry for no reason. And it's really kind of irritating. So I thought, you know what? We'll go out on a hike. That usually makes me feel better because physical activity is always good for me. And so after the hike, we went to lunch. And so we're outside. It's me, it's Liz, and there's two dogs. My two dogs are outside with me. And they were not very well behaved. My two dogs were at lunch anyway, kind of moving around. And one tried to eat some food before we left the hiking trail. So she had a sandwich that I had to remove from her mouth. So my hands were disgusting. And so I had to go over to the park bathroom, which might be one of the most disgusting bathrooms you will encounter in Petaluma, California. And so I cleaned my hands and whatever I could do, came back. So my hands were pretty gross. And so I'm sitting down, we're having a beer. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. You know, I'd love to have a beer right now. So Liz very nicely brought me a beer, had one for herself. And the dogs just kind of chilled out. It seemed like it was going to be okay. There were other dogs there. And they were very calm together. Now, my dogs at almost 8 years old are not super calm yet. I take that as a failing of my own. They are still super excitable. These Labradors are still really like, hey, we need to see all things. So this guy comes out and brings out our food. And the food is a couple sandwiches and each have a pickle. My dog, Audrey, who is this like little 4 foot dog. When she stands up, she's about like 4.5 feet. She got up on her back feet, kind of hovered, daintily took her big freaking mouth and took the pickle off my plate and then dropped it. And I am tethered to the two dogs with my left hand, and I'm watching this happen. And I feel, first I feel incredibly embarrassed because, well, that was my lunch that was right there. So she could have gotten my lunch, but she got the pickle. So there's other people with us at the lunch. I mean, I guess not actually at the lunch, but at the little patio area. And they're like getting a kick out of it. They're like, oh, the dogs love pickles. And I'm like, I have to make sure that she doesn't eat it because I don't know if she can have pickles. Her sister's incredibly, incredibly allergic to everything. And I don't need to find out today that Audrey's allergic to pickles because she could be because I don't feel like dealing with that in the course of the day. And so I was not very happy with the dogs. And so they kept trying to steal things. And eventually I'm like, fine, they're going to go back to the car. And I'm going to sit and eat my food quickly and get the heck out of here. And of course, I still was late to the show. So what the heck does this have to do with inner peace and calmness? One, I didn't have calmness with those dogs. I wasn't angry at them, but I was not happy. I was frustrated and absolutely frustrated. And this reminded me of a topic Liz suggested I actually make today's show about. She said to me, why don't you make it about the dogs? And I go, okay, And there's a reason why that wasn't a crazy idea to me. A while ago, I read a book called A Dog's Mind, or The Dog's Mind. I'm going to go find it as I'm yammering with you guys. A Dog's Mind. Let me see if I can go find it on Amazon. Now, this book was in the bibliography of a Caesar Millan book. So if you don't know who Caesar Millan is, he's the dog whisperer. And when I first got the dogs, I looked at his book. And his book really wasn't about training dogs at all, his first book. But anything that was interesting to me, I would look at the reference and I saw the footnote and it would lead back to this book by Bruce Fogel. It's called The Dog's Mind, The Dog's Mind, Understanding Your Dog's Behavior. It's about $8 on the Kindle. It came out in 92. And what this book actually does is it explains to you as a human being what dogs think. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, well, dogs don't really think. And I really don't see how this is getting to peace. I'm going to get there. Dogs don't really think. You don't have to worry about this. It's just that when you learn how they behave, you can tailor your human behaviors to fit them. Because if you don't do that, if you treat them like humans, bad things happen. Like, here's an example, right? Dogs are pretty simple. So the mailman example. The mailman comes by and the dog barks. And then the mailman goes away. Now, to a lot of us, we're like, oh, wow, look, the dog is really irritated at the mailman. And he just stops barking when the mailman goes away because the mailman's gone. To the dog, it's a cause and effect kind of thing. The dog goes, mailman showed up, I barked, he went away, I win. That sounds strange to us because we're like, yeah, well, the mail guy's not going to hang around all day. They're going to move to the next house. That's their job. But the dog doesn't understand that kind of idea. They don't have the frame of reference we do and this humanity kind of thing. Another example is, let's say it's a thundering night and there's lightning and there's a terrible thunderstorm. If that dog starts cowering in the corner, one of the worst things you can do is go up to the animal and start going, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. That works with human beings, you know, coddling them and holding them close when they're scared. When you do that to a dog, you are reinforcing that behavior. You're like, hey, if this dog goes, okay, that sound happened, I complained, and they hug me, I win. So this is the behavior that keeps happening over and over again. So it's kind of cruel sounding to say this, but if your dog is like whining during a thunderstorm, you kind of have to like say no and then move along as if nothing is happening. You kind of have to be a chill, relaxed guy around dogs. And there's another thing about dogs. They absolutely will not listen to a stressed, freaked out leader. I kid you not. If you have never seen The Dog Whisperer, it's on Netflix. Take a look at it. It's called The Very Best of The Dog Whisperer. When you see some of the frantic humans who are leading these animals, you can see why the dog is basically trying to figure out its own way. That's what happens, by the way, with dogs. If they don't think that you're the leader, they're like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to be the leader now. It's not that they want to overthrow you, but if they're not going to be led, they're going to lead. It's actually a very admirable quality. So in this book, they also talk about this idea of mindfulness for dogs. And we talk about mindfulness on this show, and that's being in the moment. You know, there's something about being in the moment that is actually very calming because you're not thinking about the thing that happened 10 seconds ago that was annoying. And you're not thinking about the thing that's going to come up on Monday afternoon that's going to annoy you. You're just thinking about right now. And for the most part, right now is not so bad because you're not in either of those states. You're not in the past where it was bad. You're not in the future where it will be bad. You're just in the right now. And so that's the thing about dogs. Dogs only they have a very short idea of time. So if they make a mistake, if you don't immediately correct them right after the mistake, you give them like 10 minutes or something, they're not going to understand that the action they did was the reason they had this reaction from you. So you have to correct them right away. Because the thing is, they're not thinking about 10 minutes ago. They're not thinking about the future. All they're thinking about at any given time is how can this be awesome? How can this be fun? Because, I mean, if you've ever seen an animal like this, they usually are like, they have that goofy face, and that's probably because of breeding. So you see this smile on their face. And they just want to either be near you, or they want to play, or they want to roll, or they want to sleep. They want to do pretty much anything that feels good. You know, you don't see a dog stressed out with anxiety unless they've been like abused and they have no reason to trust human beings and they start freaking out because that's a learned behavior. And people are like that too, where they're really freaked out. when they see other people or maybe people in positions of authority because they've had bad experiences with this kind of stuff. So this idea is a lot of one of the first triggers I had in my head when it came to this idea of being mindfulness was look at the dogs. Try to be like the dogs. You know, they might try to steal food and they want to get belly rubs all day, or they want to not sit on the couch, or they want to sit on the couch, or whatever it's going to be. But they aren't doing a lot of the stuff that we do, or at least I do on a daily basis, of questioning motives, getting irritated over nothing, reading into things. Dogs don't read into stuff, right? They're not like, well, why? Why do I have to sit here and wait before I have to eat? I don't really like you for that. They don't bite my hand before I feed them. They don't do this kind of thing of, I can destroy you at any given time. For some reason, these animals are listening to me and they're choosing to do this because all they know is like, look, if I'm nice to you, I get the food. Good deal, good deal. That's all it takes. And so when it comes to being mindful, I looked at those dogs because I was irritated at lunch. I'm like, every time I see other people's dogs, I'm like, oh, I love them. They're so cute. They're really great. And then I'm like, I have my own. I'm like, yeah, they're really annoying sometimes. You know, I think they're really cute and they're great, but there are times where you just can't stand them because they won't listen. But then I realize something as I get more agitated with them. The fun part is they won't listen. So there's nothing I can do other than calm the hell down and try to be like the Cesar Millan character or the actual guy who talks about the dog whisperer. He talks about being the pack leader. And that requires you to stand up tall and be calm and assertive. Calm, assertive. Those are the two words you hear a lot on that show. And that really does work, by the way. It's not just with dogs. It works with children. It works with teenagers that you don't even know. It works with a lot of people. And it also works with bartenders. There's something weird. If you actually have a bit of confidence, you can actually get bartenders' attention. I'll get to that part at some point. That's just a silly story to tell you guys. But being calm, assertive is somewhat easy when you know you have something you're talking to that will refuses to understand you. That dog is not trying to figure you out, okay? You have no option. You either learn the way this dog understands stuff or you will never get anywhere. And so my thing with this whole dog speech, this whole thing about dogs, is I don't afford people this kind of kindness. This understanding of, well, you only understand it this one way. Maybe if I just talk to you in the way you understand this, this would work. I think a lot of us don't do that. Now, I know that for myself, I have that issue. I don't do that enough when it comes to, this person doesn't think like me. You know, I'm very analytical. I'm not sentimental. I really try to break down problems in a way that is fair. So even if I don't like the outcome, I will sometimes give in to that. And so not everybody's like that. So the weird thing of trying to get people to go to my way of thinking or to understand things the way I think about them is really a disservice to the whole thing, which makes me angry, which makes them angry, which makes nobody happy, which means guess who's still on a quest for peace because he can't freaking talk to people because he's just so flummoxed at the situation. It's weird because on this program, I talked about this before, when it comes to like my family or loved ones, it comes to this thing of my expectations of them are very high. And that is a huge recipe for disaster. If there's a bunch of people that you really love and care about, setting up high expectations is a surefire way to be very unhappy. Because if they don't follow what you haven't told them, or if they do follow, there's always something to pick on. It's a complete mess. I've been trying to figure out how to stop setting up expectations, but a lot of that is built in since I was a little kid. I'm still going through a lot of this idea of, well, my expectations cannot be the actual expectations of people. I need to accept everything people are doing. And then I got to figure out how to work with that. I have almost no problem with dogs with this. It's so easy to go, that little furry thing is an alien. I'm going to work with this thing really easily. But something about seeing human beings, you've known them all your life, you've been talking to them as long as you can talk to them, and you've been communicating since you could. There, for me, there's a barrier right away to go, you think differently than I do. Let's figure this out. And it's harder for me to pull on that little calm, assertive suit where it's like, okay, be calm, be assertive, and try to figure this out. Because otherwise, all you're doing is you're going to cause conflict and anger, and that's not – it doesn't work. Conflict and anger solve very little. The idea of – I don't mind having a disagreement, and a conflict that has a resolution that's constructive makes sense. But the idea of taking the approach I have for dogs – and applying them to people. When I've successfully done that, something about that totally works. So if you don't have any pets and you're like, well, this makes no sense. You're like, oh, I didn't really care about dogs and dogs are crazy. And I don't, why would I ever want to be like a dog? I mean, dogs, another fun fact about dogs, because they are so disgusting and they want to live. Some dogs, what they do is when they find a dead animal, this is very important, by the way, if you take your dogs out in the country, they find a dead animal. They actually roll around inside the animal to cover their own scent. Okay, so that is not something I want to do as a person, but this is something I wanted to share. But the idea of generally trying to be like a dog is not necessarily the worst idea. And then understanding people as animals, which I think some people find very insulting. But for me, if that's the only way I'm going to actually figure out how to handle issues that I'm having, maybe I got to freaking use that. And today, like I said, this, in the very beginning of this episode, I feel like a complete fraud trying to come for this show and go, yeah, I'm really peaceful. Today, I was pissed. I was not happy. I did not like the dog stealing the pickle. I didn't like her trying to eat a sandwich when we're trying to do something. I didn't like that the dog wasn't disciplined properly. I didn't like any of that stuff. And it was just really irritating me, flat out irritating me. And you can tell I was getting irritated because you heard how quickly I was speaking there. And I have to sit down and do the show. And I got to go reset my brain because it's not constructive to be that worked up over that. All I can do with the dog is clearly discipline her when I have to right then and there, take care of the situation, and then move on. Because I'll tell you what, tomorrow, that dog and that pickle is not a story in her head. She does not care. I can't keep thinking about that. It's really easy for me to go, nope, I'm not going to stick on that. So I'm trying to figure out what it takes to be happy today. And sometimes it's just opening up to you guys, if you're listening to this, and talking about dog stories. And if you're interested in the book by Bruce Fogel, The Dog's Mind, I'll have a link at iaz.tv or maybe even gfqnetwork.com, where we have the videos and audio subscriptions to this program. And this is a very bit of a strange show. I really wasn't expecting to be talking about dogs today. I was thinking about talking about depression and alcohol and other weird things, but the dog thing seemed to really stick out to me today because it was a big deal. I'm supposed to, you know, you think yourself as a human being. You're like, yes, I'm obviously superior to this animal. I'm the top of the food chain. I can clearly handle anything. And then you run into like little things where this cute furry animal is irritating you and you don't really know what to do about that. And it's a small thing to get worked up over. Maybe I'm just dehydrated. Maybe I'm just unhappy for no reason. Maybe I didn't sleep well. I don't know. That's not an excuse, though. That's part of this thing. This idea of trying to go for inner peace, it's freaking hard. It's difficult. And, you know, on this show, we've talked to a bunch of people, and you know, we've talked about failing like crazy, failing when it comes to going for your dreams or trying to become more than you are. You can't let that dissuade you from trying to make that change. So when this show ends, and it ends in a couple of minutes, and I stop recording this episode, I need to keep mindful of all the stuff I just said with you guys. The idea that maybe I got to be more understanding. It's just saying it out loud sounds like, yeah, of course I can do that. No, it's really easy to say that. It's really hard to do that when you're actually fired up. Because adrenaline makes you stupid. It's really fun because you're just thinking fight or flight. And I don't fly. I just fight. So that's a problem. I got to work on that. I like to – that's another thing. I will say this. It definitely helped me in my career and as a student when it comes to this idea of arguing and having constructive conflicts. I don't mind you know, discussing something to death with people. So if, let's say, person one really likes Star Trek and person two likes Star Wars, I can get into that situation and talk indefinitely about either side. I just enjoy the discussion and to see if I can actually mentally think of all of the – mentally think as opposed to what? If I could think of all the counter reasons to whatever they're telling me about their position, or see if I can argue the other side. Maybe I don't even believe what I'm saying, but can I think well enough to do this? So one of the things I quite enjoy is I do enjoy argument and as an actual art form, like a debate. I really enjoy that stuff. The problem is my brain doesn't know how to really go, this is the wrong time to do this. You're heated. You're upset. This is not the time for this. And then there are other times where I'm supposed to be like, okay, now is the time for an academic discussion, because flat out, that's pretty easy. I'm looking at the chat room right now. I'm in the wrong chat room. That explains why I'm seeing all the wrong things. What an interesting day, guys. I should have really checked if I was in the right chat room today. We have a chat room, by the way, irc.gfqnetwork.com, which I'm going to join right now, and very late in the program. Let's say hi to you guys, because I was in the wrong chat, which explains why people were so angry about something else. Okay, so if you've got any questions and you've got concerns or you've got anecdotes and you're like, I got the answer, I got the key, this is what's going to make you happy, do me a favor and send me a tweet, you know, at Iyaz. That's Iyaz on Twitter. And you can let me know that way. And if you want to really have a long discussion with me, we can always chat via email. I got to get myself a snappier email address, but you can email me at my personal email account, iyazaktar@gmail.com. So you can just hit me up there if you need to, but that's pretty open. I see somebody in the chat room writing roles in a carcass. So yes, you definitely listened. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Very oddball one. I don't know what we're doing next week, but if you're so inclined, if I'm back to do an episode, which I might not be. So programming notes, let's do this. Like it's a formal show. Programming notes. I am moving to New York in about 4 weeks. And I usually do this show on Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific. And I believe I have like a wedding to go to and some other things, a party or something. There's some other weird things that are going on Sundays in the month of June. So I need to really figure out what day I'm going to be doing these. So if you want to know, hey, when are you going to go live? Do me a favor. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Iyaz. And you'll find out more about scheduling, particularly about this show. If you're like, hey, I want more great programming, let me tell you something. I'm a guy from Queens. So I'm on the GFQ network because it's the Guys from Queens network. And they got some great programming. If you like pro wrestling, like I do, check out Mat Men. Good show. Very, very fun. Or if you're just like, I want to listen to just complete craziness, listen to Free For All. Because that's not really about anything, but it's kind of anything goes on that program. It's kind of like this show if it wasn't about peace. Like, I have all these ridiculous stories, and they kind of tie into the peace theme, but no theme on that show. Anyway, I think this person in the chat room, Skills Cat, spend 10 minutes every day focusing only on your own breathing. That's a meditative concept. I bought into that every now and then. The thing about getting into that mindfulness state that I've been running into issues with lately is that I can't remember to do that. Not because I forget that this concept exists. I'm just fired up and I get self-righteous as opposed to just being understanding. And that I think will help this idea of spending 10 minutes thinking about your own breathing or just focusing on your breathing through meditation. It's because I think I was reading about this with meditation before. When you have time to do it, that's not the time you really need it. The point of the meditation is that when you do need to call upon a reserve of energy and patience, you have been practicing this the whole time. The idea of telling yourself and handling yourself every day, even when there's no conflict, prepares you for a potential conflict. And for a lot of reasons, I think, that escaped me to this point, I've not been meditating enough. I haven't been working out enough. And these are the things I need to function. And I'm losing a lot of that stuff. So I'm working on that, and I'm just talking to the end of time. Anyway, that's pretty much for this episode. What's the whole point? What's the moral of the story? Think like a dog, except don't roll around in carcasses unless you're Skills Cat. Otherwise, good luck to everybody in your quest for peace. I'm Iyaz Aktar, and I'll see everybody. I don't know when, but soon. So subscribe and you can get the episodes automatically.